As the sun sets this evening, so this Christmas season in the liturgical year of the church is also coming to an end. And as the sun rises tomorrow, we will begin again ordinary time. And so the church, on this very last day of the Christmas season, celebrates a feast of a kind of transitional turning point moment in the life of Christ. His baptism, which we heard recounted in our gospel today from St. Luke. For 30 years before this, Jesus has lived what we call the hidden life with Our Lady and St. Joseph until the time of Joseph's death in Nazareth, where he lived the ordinary life of the family and the home, took up his work as a carpenter. But now his baptism in the Jordan marks this transition into what we call his public ministry, when he will become very active, no longer staying in his home in Nazareth, but going out to all the different towns and villages of Israel to preach to the people and to heal and to work miracles. And so as we enter tomorrow into ordinary time, throughout the weeks of ordinary time on the Sundays, we hear in the gospel the deeds of Jesus and his teachings during his public ministry. And the church, you may know, has these three cycles of Sunday readings, A, B, and C. We're in cycle C this year. These three cycles follow each of the three, what we call synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so we're in year C, and we'll be hearing regularly every Sunday, with the exception of next week. So don't tell me next week I was wrong in what I said today. There's one exception. Next week we'll hear from John. But the rest of the year, we'll hear from the Gospel of Luke. And I want you to pay attention as we go through this liturgical year. There's a particular characteristic or feature of Luke's gospel that if you listen closely, you'll discern as we go through the year, which is this frequent mention of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. Luke's gospel is kind of a gospel of the Holy Spirit, which builds up ultimately towards his Acts of the Apostles. Luke was the author also of the Acts of the Apostles, where he tells us about the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and then how the Holy Spirit worked so powerfully in the first years of the church. And it's on display already today in this account of our Lord's baptism that we just heard. We heard first St. John the Baptist say of Jesus who was to follow him, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And then when Jesus comes to the Jordan River, he goes down into the waters and John baptizes him. We're told that the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. Jesus, who had possessed fully the Holy Spirit from the very moment of his conception in our Blessed Mother's womb, now is manifested to all who were there at the river as the one upon whom the Holy Spirit rests, the one filled with the Holy Spirit, who's come to earth to set everyone else on fire with that fire of God's love in the Holy Spirit. And so you and I, in our own baptism, every year when we celebrate this feast, it's an opportunity to pray for a renewal of the grace of our own baptism. When we were baptized, for most of us probably as little infants in a moment we don't even have any memory of, we too received the Holy Spirit. You see, what happened to Jesus in the Jordan set the pattern, instituted the sacrament of baptism, and revealed what would happen for every single person who was baptized in those holy waters of baptism. And even if the heavens weren't opened and a dove didn't descend in bodily form upon us as little infants at the baptismal font, nonetheless, our faith tells us that we in that moment were filled with the Holy Spirit. We were given his gifts. Gifts that were meant to exercise so that they grow in us over time. Really, our baptism is a call to each of us to make of our lives a kind of living gospel of the Holy Spirit. To allow the Holy Spirit to so take possession of us that he overflows in our lives and moves us to act in ways like Jesus did. How does that happen? How do we allow the Holy Spirit to possess us and fill us and overflow in us in that way? I think there's a simple formula. Four different aspects, really, of our Christian life that if we live them faithfully and generously, will lead to us being filled with the Holy Spirit, will make our lives gospels, living gospels of the Holy Spirit. The first of those four things is the sacraments of the church. We've already spoken a little bit about baptism and how important it is. And then in our confirmation, that gift of the Holy Spirit was strengthened in us so that we could be witnesses in the world. And those sacraments that we receive only once in our life, they don't disappear, but they give us this permanent grace that we should often call upon and ask the Lord to renew in us. But then also our lives have to be centered on those sacraments that we can receive again and again repeatedly in our life, especially the sacraments of confession and Holy Communion. Going often, regularly to our Lord in the sacrament of reconciliation to be cleansed and healed and purified. And then coming regularly as we're obligated to do, to come to Mass every Sunday and as often as we're properly disposed, receive Jesus in Holy Communion, which is, as the form of the sacrament teaches us, food for our soul. Holy Communion nourishes the life of the Holy Spirit in us. The sacraments. But then we need more than just the sacraments, primary and important as they are. The second part of this simple formula is prayer. It's setting aside time every day in which we shut out all the noise and distraction that constantly bombards us and foster some time of silence, maybe praying with Scripture or praying the Rosary or just quietly recollecting ourselves. So that we can open ourselves to the movements of the Holy Spirit in our life. And it's something that we indeed need every day, even if it's just a short time every day. The third part of this formula maybe is one that we don't think about too much, but it's so consistently encouraged by the church. It's self-denial, various forms of fasting or penance. We think a lot about that during Lent, but really that's meant to be a part of regular Christian life. And it doesn't mean, you know, going on some sort of radical 40-day fast or something like that. It's simple things like choosing at this meal to forego a second helping or maybe not to use salt on my food or not to have dessert today. Or I think there's a lot of ways we can fast with technology in our days, maybe taking a day off from social media or limiting our use of our phones and devices. When we deny ourselves, we train ourselves to say God is more important than even those earthly goods that we so much enjoy. We say to the Holy Spirit, you're more important than this simple earthly pleasure that I can forego. And then the fourth part of this formula, after the sacraments and prayer and self-denial, is striving to grow in virtue. The virtues are those good habits that help us relate to God and one another and ourselves properly. And when we foster the virtues in our lives, we become more and more docile to the Holy Spirit. We, if you will, align ourselves with the will of God and so open ourselves to the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's simple: sacraments, prayer, self-denial, and virtue, but it's hard to live consistently and generously and faithfully. But if we do, these things open us to the Holy Spirit, who little by little will take greater possession of our lives. Little by little, he will make our lives a gospel, a living gospel of the Holy Spirit. And here's the beautiful thing about that. You know, we live in a very secular time, when it's very countercultural simply to live our faith, when the pews of our churches aren't as full as they really should be. And there are so many people in our world who will never open up a Bible and read the Gospel of Luke and all that the Holy Spirit did in the life of Jesus. But those people who may never open a Bible, they will see you and me, And if we become living gospels of the Holy Spirit, then we can be an instrument of the Holy Spirit influencing other lives and drawing other souls to Christ and to the gift of salvation that he has to offer. So as we honor our Lord this evening and celebrate anew this feast of his baptism, let's ask him in this Mass to renew in us the grace of our own baptism, to help us to live in such a way that we become living gospels of the Holy Spirit. And he gives us, as he gives us the great gift of himself anew this evening in Holy Communion, let's ask him to nourish that life of the Spirit within us, so that this week others might encounter in us that living gospel of the Spirit. St. Patrick, pray for us.